Hey, this is Evan Longoria of your San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! Let's go, Giants! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
It's Monday, May 16th, 2022, and this is episode 252 of The TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of your San Francisco Giants. And I'm your host, Chad King, today, and I am sitting here without a mustache. It is Mustache May. And if you're on Facebook live, or you're watching this later, or even if you're listening to it on audio, I urge you, go over to our website, go over to our Facebook page, and just bask in the glory of Eric Nathanson's mustache. I love it, man. How's it growing? It looks like a caterpillar on your lip.
Yeah, well, I mean, truth be told, I shaved down a beard, so it's not like I started growing this at the beginning of May. But
yeah, it's a reverse engineered one. It's okay.
Yeah, I'd go with a theme. You know, I was very upset when Gabe Kapler said that he believes a mustache is a beard, because this is not a beard. A beard is a beard. A mustache is part of a beard. But a beard is not necessarily a mustache, and I think you understand what I'm saying on that. The people at Manscaped would understand what I'm saying on that, because a mustache itself is not just a beard. But the guys go for it. This is the second May in a row they've done Mustache May. We've seen Slater, Yaz, Lamont Wade Jr. rocking the stash. So I figured I'd join them and ride out Mustache May and see if the Giants can bounce back to their winning ways.
Yeah, look, it was helping there for a while. They started off May with a kind of a thud, but during this week, I mean, they went 4-2 for the week of our podcast, but in that time, they did put together a nice 6-game winning streak before stumbling the last two in St. Louis. But overall, I mean, they're doing just fine. They find themselves, what, a game and a half back of the Padres and Dodgers right now, sitting at 20-13. There's nothing wrong with that. They have one of the best records in the National League. They're close to the division leaders. They're in the wild card race. All those things are just floating on fine. I mean, to me, it really doesn't matter if you're in first by a game or behind by a game or two right now. It's so early in the season. These little things don't really matter. I mean, if they were up by 8, that would be nice right now. You know, if they were in like the NL Central or, God forbid, some crappy division like that. But they're doing fine. And in fact, as of going into the second game in St. Louis, they actually had a better record at that time than they did last year after that many games.
Wow.
So now that they've lost two in a row, that may not be the case, but they're very close.
Yeah, but they were 20-12. That's pretty good.
Yeah, when they were 20-12, exactly.
Well, I mean, the biggest disappointment about losing the Cardinals series those last two games is now the tiebreakers have changed. And if you finish tied for, say, the last wild card spot with the Cardinals with the exact same record, the clincher is that the Cardinals won 4 and the Giants won 3. And I don't know if that's been talked about at all, but that's one of those things that Giants are going to have to consider coming down the stretch. So it's a little frustrating in that aspect, because they did come off such a nice 6-game winning streak that included beating the Cardinals a couple times and again in St. Louis on Friday night. But, you know, sometimes stuff happens, and last night was an ESPN game, and the Giants are sometimes cursed on Sunday nights. So instead of it just being an overall positive week, it kind of ended with a whimper with those last two games.
Honestly, ever since I, you know, was younger, it just seems like the Giants just don't do very well on Sunday Night Baseball. I mean, even the games that like Joe Morgan and John Miller would broadcast occasionally, you know. You know, obviously they did well in the playoffs on TV, but yeah, any of those nationally syndicated or broadcast game, whew, man. Hey, Tyler, thanks for coming in. Yes, the mustache game is strong for Eric today. I agree with you. We opened up the show with a little discussion on that. Hey, Brooks, how you doing? I hope you got one going on right now. I don't. I lack the follicle density to produce anything that's manly. It's more like a 12-year-old prepubescent kind of fuzz that grows. Oh, so.
See, if I don't shave, I won't even try. Like Michael J. Fox. Yeah, I look like Michael J. Fox and Team Wolf if I don't shave.
Are you saying, do you have a back sweater? Do you have a sweater on your back? I mean,
no, I don't. I'm lucky.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
It's funny. I'm adopted, so I don't like know my true nationality and heritage, but I got to be Italian. With the amount of hair that I got growing out of me, I got to be Italian.
Well, maybe not as bad as Robin Williams or something like that, man. That dude.
No. Like... I had a buddy who I played high school ball with, had a back sweater, and like we used to talk about it all the time. Like, dude, take off your vest. He'd be like, "What? It's not nice. Things are not always fun in a clubhouse."
Yeah. Speaking of the man, the fantastic mustaches from like Yaz and Slater. Boy, those guys, man, they got the follicle density. It's doing well.
It's like they prepared for it. They knew coming. I bet if we went back and looked at pictures at the end of April, they'd have like a bit of a beard going, you know, like I did before I shaved down too.
Yeah, probably. Getting back to the Giants, though, yeah, they won six in a row. It's funny how you brought that up because I heard that this week as well. And that's going to be a consideration with all of these wild card contenders. If they don't win the division, they're going to be in that wild card position. And yeah, seeding is going to be dependent on head-to-head record should they tie. And so now the Cards own that 4-3. The chances of it happening are small, but every team that you lose a season series to just increases the chances of that happening. And it's really weird how the Giants did it. They lost their first two against St. Louis, then they won the next three, then they lost the last two. So they had kind of had a win sandwich, you know, with the two
like
pieces of lost bread
series
on each side.
Yeah, it's like the 87 NLCS where it went 2-3-2.
Yeah, a little
is that,
frustrating.
No, that's not how it went. No, that one stretched out differently. That was for the Cardinals World Series, my bad.
Oh, gotcha. It's okay. It happens. What are you going to do? They're 3-4 against the Cards, and they'll just move on. But they got to fall back on the fact that, you know, the expanded playoffs anyway. So, you know, if they get demoted to the fifth seed or sixth seed because of the Cardinals, I don't really care. It's kind of a crapshoot if you don't get the first round bye anyway. You know, it's a three-game series. So it's just all at the top seed park anyway. So, in fact, in a lot of ways, it could work out for a team for the better, because what if their division opponent or their opponent is actually matches up better if you get bumped down, you know? That can happen too.
I mean, it's true. Teams match up better against each other all the time. When we talk about the Rockies and the Rockies again, I said right before the show, like the Giants just match up well against them. And there's other teams out there like that. St. Louis matches up well against the Giants. That's why they were able to win 4 out of 3. You know, it's tough to keep that team down. They're very patient hitters. And when you got a guy like Rodon leaving the ball up in the zone all night long last night, it's just the way it's going to be, because he lived up there, and you're just going to get beat when that keeps happening. And it'll happen, like we said, once in a while. But, you know, against other teams, the Giants might match up well against the Padres because they might be free swingers. You know, things like that are always stuff to consider when the playoffs come around.
Yeah, I'm part of that. Six-game winning streak did include the Colorado Rockies, whom they faced tonight for 3 in Colorado, and that used to be kind of a hellhole for the Giants. Like you said, they've won 10 in a row against Colorado, and that includes some road games at Coors Field. So the Giants have definitely gotten fat and happy off of the Rockies, and hopefully they continue to do so tonight. It was a little shocking last night to see Carlos Rodon to get shelled, but we were talking about this pre-show, and his ERA went from a 1.8 to a 3.49 in one outing, so it almost doubled. He had allowed 7 earned runs prior to the start. He allowed 8 earned runs last night, so he actually more than doubled his earned run output or allowance. But that's okay. I mean, I'd rather have a guy kind of put all his eggs in one basket, his rotten eggs into one basket, so to speak.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been nails his first 6 starts, and yeah, he had a stinker on his 7th. What if he goes on for another 4, 5, 6, you know, great starts in a row? We'll take that version of Carlos Rodon. No questions asked. But if he goes out there and he has like a 4 ERA for the rest of the season consistently, that's where you start to get to that mediocre territory. And, you know, they're paying him a lot of money. So hopefully the, you know, vintage Rodon is back next time. But I will say he gave up his first home run of the year to Goldschmidt, 2 batters in, 2-0 right away. But some of the early contact was unfortunate, and that'll happen. That'll happen when a pitcher has a bad streak. I mean, there were some base hits that had exit velos of like 67 miles an hour. There were a lot of dinks and dunks that were a part of the hit parade. So, you know, that didn't go to serve his success very well, but there's nothing I'm overly concerned about. But, you know, some balls were definitely left up. He was out on the mound quite a long time. And yeah, he threw over 100 pitches, I think it was, in like 3 2/3. Or, sorry, not 3 2/3, the outing before that. Didn't he have something like that? 100 pitches?
Yeah, 110, I think, in the outing before that.
So, you know, maybe he was a little tired. I don't know. But anyway.
I mean, it's possible. Everything was up, so that would lead to, say, a tired arm. It really would. We've seen it happen. You get under the ball because your shoulder's just a little tired, so it's just dropping that little bit, and you're not getting the same follow through on your pitches. So I don't think it's anything to worry about. And the Giants have a day off this week, so
yeah.
If they have to deal with pushing him back a day, that's fine, because he can pitch next Saturday or Sunday against the Padres. I'm sure he will.
I don't have it in the notes, but I mean, is there any? I'm not concerned, but you know, Logan Webb has just not really been very consistent. He's been the beneficiary of some Giants offense to continue to get those wins, but as far as performance, he's not been the best out there lately. And is there any concern that you have?
A little bit. I mean, you just don't know if he's going to be able to get back to what he had. But he hasn't been, like, horrible. He's been flat. You know what I mean? That's been the main thing that he's been with his pitches. They just haven't had the same break. And you'd like to think a guy with that kind of movement could just always have it figured out. So I think he'll get back a little bit, but I am a little concerned, just like you are.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, I think kind of the big news of the week, at least for some people anyway, and I'm kind of one of them, is the Giants made a trade. Not with the Seattle Mariners, although they did, but that's not what I want to talk about, because apparently the Giants and Mariners are just going to swap entire farm systems, apparently. I don't know why.
Yeah, like three times last week those two teams traded.
And they made another trade this week with them. It's insane. But the Giants did complete a trade with the Houston Astros. They sent forever Giant, I like to say, Mauricio Dubon. Traded for Michael Papirski. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But anyway, he's a career minor league catcher. He has not had one at-bat in the major leagues yet. He has a career 220 batting average in 1,215 career minor league at-bats, light hitting. You kind of look at it and you're like, doesn't seem like they're getting equal in return. But the big reason, of course, is the Giants are getting healthy right now. They have the impending and imminent return of Tommy La Stella. They got Longo back, right? They got Lamont Wade Jr. back. They're going to have all these guys coming back to the roster. There's just no room, and Doobie's the odd man out. And unfortunately, he's out of options, so he couldn't be sent to the minors. So instead of DFAing him, because he does have more value than other guys they've DFA'd in the past. I mean, hell, they just DFA'd Tyler Beede last week, right? He was a number one pick in 2014. And they DFA'd him. They weren't going to get any value out of him. But they recognized there was some value in Doobie as a utility player, especially because he can play the outfield and the infield. And he has a little pop and speed, and he's a little immature on the bases, and he's a little too aggressive sometimes. But he's a quality player. You know, he's there. And the Astros are interested. And so they got something in return. It's better than nothing, just waving him and not getting anything back. So I think that's the main point to consider here. So for Giants fans, don't look at it and go, why? What? Doobie's better than this catcher that's never even been in the pros, and he's only hit 220 in minor league. What the hell? This guy sucks. Okay.
Yeah.
Apparently has good defensive skills. He has a very low strikeout rate and a very high walk rate for those skills considering. So I'm not saying it's a backup plan for Joey Bart. I don't think anyone's saying that. But it is some insurance, because we have seen a tendency for Joey Bart to strike out way too much, despite the fact that he does walk at a good rate. And he has that classic, you know, Farhan OBP of over 320 or whatever it is right now, right? So he's got some of those skills, but he's really got to cut down on the goddamn strikes and swings and misses. So maybe this is just a science experiment here.
Well, from what I've read, this guy's also really put a lot of work in at first base. So we saw there was a depth problem there a little bit earlier this season when Belt went out with COVID. I mean, it wasn't a huge problem. Ruff and Flores and them can handle it, but it really highlighted how good of a first baseman Belt was. And, you know, everything you use to describe him is the same thing we say about every single one of these trades. The guy's a low strikeout rate. He has a high walk rate. Low strikeout rate, high walk rate. It's the formula for Farhan. So that's where you see that they got value for Dubon. And, you know, just like Beede, Dubon was a roster crunch. He was a lot of fun, though. I mean, kid from Honduras, first Honduran ball player. He grew up a Giants fan. We've all seen a picture from him standing out. I believe it's behind the left field bleachers. either looking out at the field or in a picture. So he's kind of a giant for life in and of itself. And he might come back down the road. You never know, because he proved himself to be a quality utility guy this year. He really did. He was a very good backup. But he's going to lose the backup at bats now to Estrada when Estella comes back. And good for the Giants for apparently Houston was interested in Dubé before the season started. So I really give credit to Farhan for getting something for Dubon and not just letting him go like BD had to walk.
Yeah, exactly. That little nugget came up as well from Houston saying we had an eye on him before the start of the season. So they already kind of were kicking the tires, and I'm sure they had conversations throughout the year. So this wasn't like Farhan probably didn't just discover this, obviously, in the past week. This has been kind of the plan all along. I mean, he's looking many, many months ahead. This he knew that LaStella and all these guys are coming back. He didn't know how well Estrada was going to perform, but Estrada's been very, you know, more than serviceable in that second base role. And they value him a little bit more than Dubé right now. So, it's just unfortunate for him because, again, I think the reason he resonates with Giants fans so much is because, number one, you just mentioned it, he grew up a Giants fan. He always wanted to play for the Giants, and that was his dream. And there is that great picture of him in a white Giants jacket with like a Giants foam finger, and he's standing in front of Tim Lincecum jerseys at one of the booths there. Wow. At AT&T Park. It's a great picture. It looks like he's in high school, but he still looks like he's in high school, by the way. I mean, he hasn't aged anything. So I think there's that connection. It's kind of like the Brandon Crawford thing. You know, he grew up a Giants fan. There's that picture of him begging the owners not to send them away from San Francisco.
That's the thing with Dubé. For Dubon, he got to play with Brandon Crawford. Like, I mean, think about that aspect of it. He was such a fan when they won three titles that Brandon was there for two of them. So, like, it must have blown his mind that he got to play with Brandon Crawford, Brandon Belt, especially Crawford being a shortstop. Like, he, in his wildest dreams, never could have imagined he would be a Giant. So, I mean, it's got to be one of those life experiences you just chalk up as, like, that was awesome, and if I can go back there one day, I will. But if not, I'm glad I got to do that. And Dubon was fun. He did resonate with Giants fans. And we'll miss him. I mean, he was a hustle player. He wasn't the brightest player sometimes, but he was a hustle player.
Yeah, let's see. I'm going to bring this up here in case anyone has not seen it. There it is. So, yeah, it looks like he's behind left center field. Yeah, maybe he's near one. Yeah, you could see the flags in the right field pavilion. There's the cable car in the upper left. So, yeah, he's kind of right behind center field, basically. You can see the field over to the right. So, but there's the Tim Lincecum jerseys. And you're right. I mean, if this was taken in 2010, 2011, or 2012, somewhere around there, that is the coolest thing, is that he actually is playing with Brandon Belt and Brandon Crawford, who were on that team last year or couple years ago when he first came up. He was playing with Madison Bumgarner, Buster Posey, right? All these guys that he grew up, you know, I'm not gonna say idolizing, but obviously being a fan of. That's got to be an incredible thing, man. I mean, to play for that team. So I think that's one reason he resonates, and the other one is just his youthful exuberance. I think there's a lot of kid in him, a lot of aw shucks, and he just kind of relates. I think he's just a relatable guy. So did he have a long Giants career? No. But I think he's just one of those guys that we're just going to remember for a long time, even if he doesn't come back, with the team. But you know, overall, he actually had a pretty good career with the Giants. He hit over 250, 15 home runs, and this is over 180 games. So his 162 average is like 14 home runs, 252, 50-something RBI, and his WAR was 2.5 over that time. So, I mean, more than serviceable. That's pretty damn good, to be honest, especially in today's game now.
For a good glove man, that's kind of what you want. That's middle infield, center field type stats, which is what he does. And it looks like he'll probably hang around Houston for a little bit. I believe it was Nico Goodrum got demoted to AAA to clear the spot for Dubon. So the guy who had been getting reps in middle infield while Altuve is hurt went down. So Dubon's going to get his chance to play with Houston and play with Dusty Baker, which – you know, also might be a thrill for him if he was any sort of a Giants historian in the first place. You know what I mean? He might be like, all right, now I get to play for Dusty. This is cool. Like, that's a pretty good baseball life he's had so far.
Yeah, it's not too bad. That interview was a little strange, saying, well, maybe I just needed a change in scenery. I'm happy to be here. It's all the stuff that you have to say going to a new team. He wasn't like, you know, he wasn't excessive in his love for the Giants in that interview. He was trying to put on an Astros face for that. And Brooks here, he also kind of backs up that hyper-aggressiveness I was talking about Doobie. Despite those good slash lines or the good, you know, good average in power, he did only have a 5.7 walk rate. And that is the opposite of Farhan's philosophy. He definitely, we just touched upon that with the catcher, right? He values low strikeouts. He definitely loves guys like Brandon Belt, right? He just knows the zone, knows what to lay off, takes his walks, and is very selective, but aggressively selective. You put it into good pitch or count leverage, right? You want to have that 2-0 count, that 3-1 count. That's why you get into those situations where you can drive the ball, because it's all about getting on base and power after that. Getting on base, power after that. And he just didn't, you know, fit exactly that mold, no matter how much we love the guy. So anyway,
that's why Joey Bart is on the thin ice, is because of that kind of stuff. Even though his walk rate is pretty decent without the strikeouts, and you know, when you're not a Farhan guy, he drafted Bailey. That's why Bart will always be part of the discussion now. I think like it shifts to him, because we talked about it before the year or when the year started, like who would be the odd guys out when the rosters had to go from 28 to 26. Mm-hmm. And we basically came up with Beattie and Dubon, and it's been Beattie and Dubon because Tyro's continued to play as well as he has. Crawford is, you know, going to be Crawford. Hopefully he'll turn it around. And they've got enough healthy outfielders that they don't need him in center field. Luis Gonzalez is another guy that made Mauricio Dubon expendable at this point. Yep. And when you're out of options, you're going to be kicked out of Farhan's clubhouse. You need to be a star on the team to be out of options in Farhan's world. And he showed that with the Dubon trade. And, you know, hopefully it doesn't, you know, do anything to the club. I figure the club will be fine. They're a bunch of professionals. They'll keep on chugging along, and hopefully we see him in the World Series this year.
But it's nice, you know, if you're Mauricio Dubon, I mean, I'm sure inside he's sad he cannot play for the Giants anymore, but at the same time, he's going to have an opportunity to perhaps play a little bit more with Houston, at least in the beginning, maybe not down the road. Yeah. He's going to have to show his worth to stick around. But at the same time, I mean, you're not DFA'd. You're not going out on waivers, signing, you know, and getting stuck in a AAA somewhere. I mean, this was a trade. Right. He was guaranteed to be on a major league roster right away. So that's got to feel good as a player. It's like, look, I know that my time ran out in San Francisco. There just wasn't a place for me because I'm not a star and I was out of options and I was the odd man out. But they valued me. The Astros valued me. The Giants valued me because there was leverage for a trade. So I'm worth something to someone, to both teams, yeah, really. I mean,
at least it's not the Orioles or the Reds or the Tigers or some Pittsburgh, some crap team. They sent him to a winning organization.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's a good trade, I think, overall. And speaking of which, when the Giants acquired him in 2019 from the Brewers, the Giants traded away Drew Pomeranz and Ray Black for Mauricio Dubon. And, of course, we really haven't heard too much of either of those guys. Ray Black last pitched in 2020, I believe. I'm bringing it up right now. No, yeah, 2020, yikes. He only had three games, three innings.
He flamed out, I guess.
Yeah, he flamed out. And then Drew Pomeranz. I don't know if he's hurt right now. Someone may know that better than I do, but he is obviously not played this year yet. Last year, he only threw 25 innings for the Padres, and in 2020, he only threw 18 innings. So, I mean, clearly the Giants got the better of that trade. So that's good for them.
Gotta appreciate Dubon.
Yep. Yeah. All right, moving on. So last night, you know, we didn't touch upon this, but despite the blowout, it was kind of fun. You know, it was on national TV again, a little embarrassing as a Giants fan going, damn it, here we are on ESPN again. And people watch this and go, yeah, the Giants suck. Dodgers are going to run away with it. All right, another bad night on national television. But we did get to see Albert Pujols pitch. That was crazy.
That was awesome.
He just looked like someone's dad, just like, throwing the ball up there. You know what I mean? Like,
I just got rid of the stats. I had all the baseball savant statistics in front of me for the velocity on these guys because, you know, I threw in Gonzalez's velocity over in the Heat, my player of the week category, because it was just hysterical that they were just throwing Ephus pitches and lollipops up there to the batters.
Yeah. I love it when Phillips for the Rays comes in and pitches, because that's all he does. He has that really awkward windup on purpose. It's like he does it to be satirical. And then he always throws that lollipop in every time. I don't know. I get a kick out of that guy. He's freaking hilarious.
Pujols' highest velocity pitch last night was 69.6 miles an hour. So he wasn't humping it up there too fast in his 27 pitches.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, something even I can throw harder than that. Not that he was trying to throw hard. That's the thing. He's just lobbing them in there, basically. But Gonzalez, he threw over 80, so.
Yeah, he did, 86.7. I was going to say for Pujols, for Wainwright, for Molina, let them have their moment. You know what I mean? Like, that's fine. Let them have their fun. Apparently, they're having a good time over there this year. Let them have their farewell tour, because it's so long to them, forever and ever, finally.
Yeah, and they were in no danger of losing that game. He'll retire with a 36 ERA because he did give up four earnings, including home runs to Peterson and Bart. So, but he doesn't care. It was for fun. Saved an inning from the pen. It's all good.
Luis Gonzalez, like you were starting to say. Yeah, Gonzalez saved the pen for the Giants. I mean, they're heading into a series in Colorado. You don't want to burn the bullpen up on a bad start from Rodon. Like, you have to believe that the thinking for starting Rodon on the Sunday night game was, okay, we know we're going to get a good five, maybe six innings out of him, seven if we're lucky, so we can probably save certain guys in the bullpen. And then last night got away, and they were like, oh, crap, what do we do to save the bullpen? And Luis Gonzalez got his crack.
Yeah. He's doing well. And, you know, it's, again, Farhan keeps finding these diamonds in the rough, and it just makes it hard to kind of push out veterans. But, you know, a lot of these other guys may find themselves in a similar situation either later this year or in a year or two, where the next young guy, you know, next man up, Farhan has no shame in pushing that revolving door as fast as humanly possible if it serves the better purpose of the team. So we got to recognize that. It's strength in numbers. It's an accumulation of all these moves that produce, you know, it's not just one individual trade or one individual move. He just seems to find a collection, and then the cream rises to the top, and he gets so much value out of these players. He's just great at it. I mean, you know, growing up, we never saw any of this stuff, right? It was always the same guys getting, you know, mowed out there every single day, no matter how hot or cold they were. It was, you always saw the same third baseman and the second baseman and the shortstop, and for years, you know. And now it's with the Giants, my God, every week the lineup changes. I mean, we went through it the last 2 weeks, of course, reading off all the names of players that actually appeared in a game in a box score for the Giants, and it's like, what? Jason Kerzan and Mike Ford, and, you know, it goes on and on and on. I mean, there was like 10 of these guys, so.
They're up to 44 players so far this season now, and last week it was, what, I think 39 when I mentioned it to you guys. So there was five other people who apparently made their debuts with the Giants in the past week, and I didn't even realize that. I mean, it's just, it's a constant shuffle. There's a core. There's a core of Crawford who go out there every day, probably, Yastrzemski, Longoria if he's healthy, Belt, Ruff would be plugged in somewhere, and that's about it. Wilmer if they can. And that's about it. Everybody else is just an interchangeable part around it. I would say Jock's part of the core too, because even the shift change guy, Slater's kind of part of the core. I don't see them getting rid of a guy like Slater anytime soon either. Yeah. So you got to think he's safe. But it's if you're going to hover around the bottom of the roster, there's just going to be a constant churn going right now. Back end of the bullpen, bottom of the roster. That's where Zaidi works his magic. That's what makes these teams so good. You know, we talked about it last year, depth, depth, depth. And if you think about it, the Giants are 20-14, 34 games in the season. Depth had a big part to do with that. Some of these random names you mentioned, they've been coming through. Gonzalez, as we've mentioned, has been the new, you know, Lamont Wade Jr. this season. It's been great to see. So, like, it just continues and continues and continues. And it's the new, like you said, it's not what we're used to seeing anymore. You don't see the same eight going out every single day. Like, there's probably going to be 162 different lineups this year. I'm not sure. I'd have to look into that. But they got to be close to doing that, because the Giants are just constant movement. And I don't know if it turns fans off, but I don't mind. If they win, I'm happy. I mean, Chad, are you happy when they win? Is that just kind of what trumps everything?
I mean, yeah. Like, what would you rather have, a 500 or under 500 team with the same guys, or a winning team with a rotation like this? I mean, you know, a rotating cast of characters. Yeah, no, I'll take it. No, no worries. No.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate success of the team, and that's what Farhan is paid to do. So, and look what happened last year, 107 wins. Just couldn't get through that buzzsaw of the Dodgers.
I mean, like Darren Ruff has played almost every game, and the guy played 5 games last week, but only started one of them. Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter if you are not a starter. You're going to be in for part of a game pretty much every single day. And so they've just – I've never seen this before. They're just one big, like, amalgamous monster instead of, you know, 2-3 stars in the center of the order that are just driving all the action.
Yeah, every lineup that you see come across Twitter is unique. They're all snowflakes. Call them snowflake lineups. They're all different.
Who's Donovan Walton? What is he hitting? You know, it's like that every single day. Like, who's this effing guy?
I think I've mentioned this before, but any future Giants trivia game in 10 years, don't anyone be cruel and say, what number did Walton wear in 2022? That's not going to go over well. Forever Giant, right? All right, so before we get into some of the numbers, I did want to bring up something a little bit more across the league. We had two no-hitters this week, but they were quite different. Obviously, we had the first one of the week, Reed Detmers threw one for the Angels, your classic no-hitter. And then we had the unfavorable situation of the poor and unfortunate Cincinnati Reds, whom threw a combined no-hitter, and it is officially a no-hitter, despite the fact that it was 8 innings, against the Pittsburgh Pirates, but Pittsburgh scored a run, and they won the game 1-0. So the Reds lost their no-hitter. The first time that's been done since 2008, and that's only been done 6 times in Major League history, where a team was no-hit but did win. And the way they scored their run, they loaded the bases on 3 straight walks and then scored on a fielder's choice. Instead of coming home, they tried to turn a double play and didn't get it. So that scored the run. Yeah, but, you know, first of all, I got to say, yeah, that's quote, bad luck. But by the same token, you walked the bases loaded. I'm just saying, like, you know.
Well, I mean, it's Hunter Green, though.
Yeah.
He's young. I mean, part of it goes to is David Bell being the manager in that situation, too, and letting him go, letting the young kid go in hopes that he could get his no-hitter. I think that's probably what happened there. Because we saw Hunter Green. I don't know. I remember seeing him in spring training, and that kid throws smoke. So I figured.
Oh, that dude is going. Yeah, frick man.
118 pitches in 7 1/3. So that's probably the most pitches in baseball this year. Because last week Rodon threw 110, and that was the second most. So Hunter Green's 118 is probably the most pitches in baseball so far this year. So they tried. They totally tried. Poor Reds. They have no luck this year. I mean, they have 9 wins finally, but they're still 13 games back.
In May, mid-May.
Yeah. It's mid-May. I remember the only real no-hitter where the losing team, the winning team was no-hit. I remember Andy Hawkins of the White Sox no-hit the Yankees in 1990.
Uh-huh.
And the Yankees won 4-0. Like
it was 4-0.
It wasn't just 1-0. It was 4-0. Like, how the heck does that happen? And I think it was an error on the left fielder after walks or something like that. I don't know.
No, I distinctly remember that because that was kind of – I was – 17, I guess, at the time. And, you know, I was ate, drank, slept baseball every day. And I remember that coming across because I think it was the first time it happened as kind of a fan who was really paying attention to the game.
Right.
And I go, how the hell did he lose a no-hitter? And how the hell did they score 4?
I watched the game live. I'm not kidding. I was in Chicago. Yeah, I was 11 years old. We got White Sox broadcast. I watched the game at my next-door neighbor's house. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, I remember seeing the highlights going, man, that's some crazy bad luck. But, you know.
I mean, how does that happen? I mean,
baseball is a beautiful game. I'm just saying, baseball is a beautiful game because of these unique things that can happen. I love it. I love the quirkiness of the sport. It's just so irregular and asymmetrical sometimes and streaky and permutations and combinations of things happen in bizarre ways that no one ever dreamt of. And I don't know. I think that's just one of the reasons why we love this sport so much.
Yeah.
And it can
that's
be cruel.
Why it's like life, kid.
And yes, it can be exactly. Very cruel, too. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, you could smoke the ball 115 miles an hour off the bat and line out, and then you could, you know, drop a swinging bunt or loop one over the first baseman with an exit velo of 50 miles an hour and get a hit. You know, that's the game, right? You don't really have that in basketball. I mean, you can't miss the hoop by a foot and still score.
Right.
But you can miss the sweet spot of a baseball bat, have the most the ugliest swing in the world and still dink one into to right field for a hit. So it's a bizarre sport, but I love it.
That's part. Yeah, you're right, though. That is part of why we love it, because those dork little singles sometimes are just the most fun hits. The no man's land pop-ups, you know, down each line.
Yeah, yeah. All right, quick injury update. At least the Giants are getting healthy. Disco is on the 10-day IL with his ankle issues still. The Stella should be coming back this week. I haven't heard anything this morning. Has there been anything that's come across the wire?
No, not that I've seen or heard from.
Yeah, so we do expect LaStella back this week. And then, of course, Jake McGee and his ballooned ERA went on the 15-day IL, yeah, with back soreness, as I see you doing air quotes. Look, we see this happen all the time, not just with the Giants, but other teams. Sometimes they just need to get right, and they'll just – he's a veteran. He's, whatever, 35 years old. They put him on the IL to work out some issues. And if it is back soreness, great. He's going to get healthy. If it's not back soreness, maybe he can deal with whatever he's dealing with. Because, man, it didn't matter if it was a tight game or mop-up duty, which is what he was being used for at the end before his stint on the IL, because he was becoming absolutely untrustworthy. Every time he was going out, he was giving up runs. Every single outing. And it's a concern. I mean, thank God they have Duvall right now. But, you know, Duvall is not exactly... Mariano Rivera yet.
Yeah, but neither is McGee, because he was kind of, he's a one-trick pony. He's got one pitch, and if he can't locate it, he gets hammered. And Gabe threw him out there in two different show-me situations. Like, look, show me you're going to do good stuff. I know we have a 6-run lead, an 8-run lead at this point, but go out there and show me something. And both of them, McGee failed.
He
gave up runs. He couldn't do it at all. So, I mean, if it is injury, that's fine. But, you know, maybe getting rest is the thing. And I mean, we're in May right now, so it's fair to say maybe we can't count on McGee down the stretch like the Giants did last season. And maybe he's run his course, or maybe he'll come back from the IL and he'll be back to normal. We don't even have to talk about it.
Yeah, that's the other thing about baseball. It's a very long season, and even All-Stars will have a horrendous week, a horrendous month. It happens, right? So, you know, maybe he's just going through a spell, and like you said, near the end of the season, he'll be very trustworthy to hold a lead when the Giants are trying to
I don't personally think he will be. I think he's kind of done. I think his one trick wore out, but that's, you know, that's just my opinion. Sorry, Jake.
Yeah, no, our friend Sergio, I love, because his last name is Dubon too. Hey, sorry, Serge, that Doobie was traded. I know you had a connection with him just from your surname there. But yeah, part of it could be McGee. Yeah, pour one out for Doobie and Serge. Aging quickly, perhaps. Yeah, I mean, Eric kind of is just referring to that a little bit. One-trick pony, fastball. I know he has a slider he was starting to use. Not very effectively.
It's just not. It's not getting it over the plate, so guys aren't biting at it, and they just know to stay away when the pitch is going in that direction. And I agree, Sergio. He's kind of aging. That's how it happens.
Yeah, exactly. If he was 27, maybe, yeah, we'd be more apt to say it's a spell. But we'll see. It happens quickly to some of these guys. They really do. Sometimes they fall off the cliff, and it's just one year to another makes the difference. Even if your location is off by a few inches, your velocity is down a little bit, and that's all it takes for you to become an elite major leaguer to, you're not there anymore, you know? Go play in an amateur league.
Yeah.
Not that I expect to see that from Jake McGee anytime.
I mean, that might be what happened to Ray Black.
Where is he now?
Right? These guys just disappear after a while.
No, you're right, Serge. Tim Lincecum, of course, same thing. It was a precipitous fall off for someone like him. Try to reinvent himself, and it just never worked out. But hey, getting that last $1 million contract from the Angels, it's a nice way to go out. A little extra cash for like 10 starts or whatever.
Still got paid. Yeah.
Yeah, you got paid. He got more weed. He got his weed guy all hooked up. He's good to go. All right, let's talk about transactions this week. The Giants, God, they just keep making these trades with the Mariners, but they traded right-handed pitcher Prelander Baroa to Seattle for second baseman Donovan Walton. And Walton's already been up with the club this week and then just got optioned back down to Sacramento yesterday when they recalled Junior Marte from Sacramento. They activated Evan Longoria. We didn't even touch upon Longo this week because he didn't have an exceptional week. But it's nice to see him back, you know, again. We're getting tired of this rotation of AAAers infiltrating the Giants roster every other game. It's like, okay, one at a time, guys, not eight. So Longo's back to hopefully stabilize third base. Jake McGee on the 15-day injured list. They DFA'd Mike Ford. So, you know, forever giant Mike Ford. And, of course, they had gotten him from Seattle and then traded him back after they designated him for assignment. He cleared waivers, was assigned to Sacramento, I guess, and then traded back to Seattle for cash.
Do you think any cash even traded changed hands, or they probably just paid the transaction fee? That's all they did.
I think it was an ATM fee. Yeah. I don't know, man.
That's so funny.
Does Farhan literally have an ATM, you know, or a PTM, a player transaction machine in his office?
He and DePoto have their own direct line to each other in Seattle. Apparently these two are closer than we all thought. We can call them the San Francisco Mira Giants if we want to, with how many Mariners they're getting in this organization.
Yeah, they just have like a physical transfer portal in their offices, and they just send guys back and forth.
So weird. Yeah, right. Like, here, you take this guy for 2 weeks, and we'll take that guy for 2 weeks. We're facing a tough left-handed lineup, so we need a good lefty reliever for the week. So we'll take him, you take him, and we'll be back in a couple weeks.
There's a lot to be said about that, and that's what a lot of the motivation might be, is two GMs thinking similarly, going, hey, we could use a righty for this week, we could use a lefty for this week, and this is a way to be creative about it. So you're not running into options and all these other things, right? This is a way to kind of get around it, circumvent some of that.
Maybe we tapped into what's going on.
I mean, that's been suggested, that there's a little collusion going on here, but just from the numerous trades that they've been making and then trading a guy back, and like, it's like, what's going on here, guys? It's kind of funky. But hey,
that's nudge, wink wink,
you're getting creative and you're operating within the rules. Okay, I mean, as long as it's helping the Giants. But speaking of which, the Pirates did claim Tyler Beedy off of waivers when they DFA'd him last week, so we'll see how he does with Pittsburgh. And the aforementioned Mariners also traded outfielder Stuart Fairchild to the Giants for second baseman Alex Blandino and cash. There's that ATM fee.
Always cash.
They optioned Fairchild to Sacramento. They recalled Donovan Walton back up to the big club. Then traded Doobie, of course, to the Astros for Michael Papirski. And then recalled Junior Marte, and then optioned Donovan Walton back down to Sacramento yesterday. So it's just that bus is busy as hell between Sacramento and San Francisco, or wherever they are, St. Louis, Colorado, whatever. But man, this is like every week of show notes, I'm always copying and pasting this like ridiculous list of trends. And this is 1 week. For most teams, this is like 2 months of transactions. This is crazy.
I kind of love it. I do. I mean, I'm always on my toes as a Giants fan right now. There's never a boring time. Everything. But yeah, right. I'm with you, Sergio. I mean, with all those trades that we're doing, but hearing the interest, like we mentioned, that Houston had beforehand, that's probably why it happened.
Yeah.
But I kind of enjoy this as a fan. I don't know if it's because, you know, I'm part of a Facebook group who talks about this stuff on the daily. I don't know if it's because I'm always tuned in. But as a tuned in fan, it kind of makes it more fun. Like, okay, how does this guy fit in? Okay, how does this guy fit in? And you try to move the puzzle pieces and think along with Farhan.
Yep.
And Jerry DePoto, apparently.
Again, I don't know how far they go back, or but they certainly have.
I don't either. Bat phone to each other. I'm very curious to see. You know, curious to see if they've worked together in a front office or something.
All right, so who's hot? We got Brandon Belt hitting 300 this week. Hey, look, that's hot. I'm just going to call it, because the Giants and the major leagues overall batting averages are way, way down this year, and so we're going to call anything close to 300 as hot for a week. Joey Bart. Again, hot, going 3 for 8. Granted, one of those hits was a home run off of Albert Pujols. We're going to count it. It counts in your major league stat line. So we'll call that as a good week for Joey Bart. Hey, look, I feel bad for the guy. I don't feel bad for him, but you know, he's getting trounced all the time on social media by a lot of very, very impatient Giants fans who don't recognize some of the value that he does bring to the team. And yes, he's got some weaknesses and holes right now. Doesn't mean you should DFA the guy right away. So he had a good week. And then Luis Gonzalez, how did he do this week?
Well, Luis Gonzalez went off this week. He was 8 for 19, 471. And he homered off of his pitching counterpart, Albert Pujols, which is just hysterical. when you think about it, because the pitcher home run was supposed to die. And I don't know if, technically speaking, Luis Gonzalez is the first guy in the National League to hit a pitcher home run since Logan Webb. I'm not sure. I don't know if anybody even brought that up. So Luis Gonzalez, he went deep with that one homer, but he drove in six runs all week and scored three. But I love that his fastball topped out at 86, but he also threw one at 42. So we had a 44-mile-an-hour spread between his fastest pitch and his softest pitch. Yeah. So hopefully Luis will get another chance to pitch again this season. That was kind of fun. Well, in a blowout win, not a blowout loss. That was a lot of fun to see. And, it always begs the question, though. Was Brandon Belt furious that somebody else got to pitch instead of him?
Right. I mean, Brandon Belt has always been the one that wanted to go out there and do it. And now it's this young whippersnapper from Sacramento coming up and taking my spot.
Yeah, how come this random guy you just signed this past year is doing it? What about me, man? Yeah.
What about me?
They're afraid he's going to get injured. It has to be.
I didn't hear anything post-game, but I wonder how that decision is made, and I wonder what leads up to it, you know? Because he's always got to have it in the back of his mind, who's going to come in as a player to pitch. And we've seen Austin Slater do it. We saw Panda do it, right? We see some of these random guys do it. So why Luis Gonzalez this time? Is it because he saw Luis on the side throwing in the 80s going, hey, did you pitch in high school? Oh, yeah, I pitched in high school. Oh, okay. And that was in the back of his mind. I don't know. But, you know, as far as Albert Pujols going out there, that was just for pure entertainment. There was no other reason than that. That was like, it's your swan song. You're on national television. Go out there.
That's why. Right. Yeah. That's why it was fine. It was because it was national television under the lights and who knows how much traction the Cardinals will get this year. So you got to milk the moments when you got them.
Yeah. And it made a apparently, lot of news, too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, too, the Giants were the first team to acknowledge Molina when he came through town the weekend before as retiring. And no other teams had done that just yet. So, you know, even though there's bad blood, there's still some class between the two organizations.
Oh, for sure.
You know, 10-pole organizations like that. Yeah, you know, they're your rival, but they're also a tentpole. You wouldn't exist without the Cardinals, without the Cubs, without the Dodgers, without the Braves, in a sense, because they played them for 100 or so years.
So I see here that you're going to take Luis Gonzalez as your player of the week then, huh? I think that's an excellent choice, but purely for his pitching, right?
Yeah, I didn't mean to steal it.
No stealing.
No, I know, but I meant, you know, because we had all those stats for earlier, you know, I didn't mean to use them in double slot here, but Luis Gonzalez he jumped out at me like, wow, he had a good week. That's when I realized Darren Ruffin only started the one game this week. Mm-hmm. And with you, Joey Bart, back to him, he had a good game on Saturday, like two hits and a walk or something like that in the same game. So you like to see that kind of improvement. Because who knows if he'll make those improvements. But, you know, even who's hot, I hate to talk about it. Lamont Wade Jr. is another guy. He was hot early in the week. He was scorching the ball after coming off the IL. I mean, I know he hit 278 for the week, but he seems to be hitting the ball really hard right now.
I'm going to take Jacob Junis. I think I've taken him once before as well. But he is really serving admirably as a spot starter now. And, you know, yeah, he had one start this week, 5 2/3, 6 hits, 2 earned runs. He gave up 1 gopher ball, only walked 1, struck out 3. But overall, he has more than held the fort to do those spot starts. And they're going to be using him going forward until Disco comes back. And he seems to have stabilized that hole in the rotation. And so I'll just say, you know, my caps off to him for kind of taking that role and really excelling in it. So he's pitching quite well for the Giants. His ERA is in the low twos, I believe, right now. Let me double
174.
Check. Oh, it is. It's 174 for the year. 20.2 innings pitched, 16 hits, given up two home runs, and 4 walks in those 20 innings, so not too bad, about 1 or 2 a game. So very serviceable, very reliable, so no issues there. I mean, think about it. I mean, his ERA right now is where Rodon's was at the beginning of yesterday's game.
Yeah.
Fewer innings.
Before just one bad game. Junis, I'm really happy with Junis. He's got 7 more innings pitched than Disco. Same amount of innings pitched as Alex Cobb. So, you give credit to Farhan for tapping the right kind of guy to come in and be that sixth man in the rotation that they needed. Because they knew they were going to need it. With this collection of guys, Cobb, Disco, Wood, possibly Rodon. You figure some of them are going to get injured throughout the year. So Junis, as long as he stays healthy, he's probably going to be a constant. He might get a good 15 starts this season.
Yeah, I think it's quite possible. He's just going to be the guy, the go-to backup for whomever goes down. I mean, God forbid we see Rodon suddenly disappear onto the 15-day IL for back soreness, you know? We'll see. I think it's just the one bad start. I don't think it's a big deal, but we'll keep an eye on him in his next start, which will occur in back at Oracle against the Padres. So it'll be tough, but you know, hopefully he gets back up on the horse. All right, moving it to wrap up the podcast, Eric. Of course, we've brought back this segment because the Giants are good again. But tell us, bestow upon us your wisdom. Why are we going to win it all this year?
Mustache May. Because they're going to survive this month of May that was a bit of a gauntlet of a schedule at times. And they showed that by after losing five straight, going out and winning six straight. So the power of Mustache May to not get lose this division and get bogged down during the month of May. So Mustache May is going to keep them in it and propel them onto the championship. So Mustache May.
So if it's deemed successful, are we going to see a Mustache October?
They should do the playoff beers for October. I mean, they obviously can grow the facial hair.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel bad for patchy growers. Like, I love the fact that I can grow a full beard. So, you know, they seem to be able to do it. Bart's doing a part of it as well. You know, he seems to be a dark-haired guy. So I think they should go playoff beards for October. But thank Mustache May for saving their season and not getting blown out while they play some good teams. And I say that before they play the Padres and the Mets this month. And the Phillies, who just took 3 of 4 from L.A.
Yeah, and that last one, the Dodgers had to come back in the bottom of the ninth, which sucked. They scored 1 in the 8th and then 2 in the 9th to walk it off. Otherwise, it would have been a 4-game sweep of the Dodgers in L.A. I was like, thank you, Phillies.
That's how it was all series, too. Like, the Phillies kept jumping out to these leads, and then the Dodgers would come back, and then the Phillies would go ahead and win it again. Like, I don't know if it showed some fortitude for the Phillies or more flaws for the Dodgers, but, I mean, that was kind of intense. Bryce Harper went off this weekend, 3 home runs in 3 games, extra base hits in every single game on top of the home runs. I mean, they gave him a rest yesterday, and they probably shouldn't have, because maybe if he had homered earlier in the game, they would have won the game by one instead of losing it.
Yeah, unfortunately, they were down to their last strike with 2 outs, and, yeah, ripped that double down the right field line. And scored 2, but what are you going to do? I mean, you know, good teams like that are going to walk it off. The Giants are going to walk it off. You know, it's just 162. It's going to happen a few times here and there. So, but anyway, thank you, Philadelphia, for taking 3 out of 4 at least. That really helped the cause and has, you know, kept the Dodgers and the Padres only a game and a half ahead.
Maybe that's the power of Mustache May. I'm just saying. Who knows?
All right. Well, I think we're going to win it all because of the Seattle Mariners.
I love it.
If you missed the beginning of the show, yeah, we were talking about how, yeah, there's a direct bat phone between both GMs because the Giants made their, like, 17th trade with the Mariners in the last 2 weeks. So for whatever reason, and the Giants keep trading people back, like Mike Ford, who got traded to the Giants from the Mariners, now back to the Mariners for cash. It's like, is this like a Ponzi scheme? Is there some, like, money laundering, some player laundering going on? Like, what's going on here?
What's their cut off the top every time they do one of these transactions?
Yeah. Oh, it's so funny.
Farhan's like, well, I signed a contract for this much, but I can double that if I have 68 transactions by April 15th. So, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully it doesn't turn out like Bitcoin or some crypto that just seems to be plummeting right now. Yeah, that's not
just
a good thing.
All of a sudden go down. Yeah, don't curse the Giants like that. I hope they have no crypto nights planned. I got to go look at that.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
I hope not.
That's horrible timing right now, isn't it?
We already see it on the umpires, you know, with the FTX or whatever. That's all, like, crypto stuff. It's like,
That's all I could think when they started wearing those was, like, dude, if crypto, you know, tanks, what are you going to be advertising after a while? You could be advertising something that's not there.
I know, yeah. It's suffering right now. I'm glad that I am long gone out of things like Bitcoin and Dogecoin and all those things. They're way too volatile for my taste. Mutual funds, set it and forget it. I mean, I did take a peek at my portfolio. It's not pretty over the last 3 months. Not pretty at all, but I still got 18, 19 years till I retire, so whatever. It just kind of,
Mutual funds was
not touching it for that long anyway. Well. The fact that it's down 25%, it is what it is. It'll come back.
Well, yeah, because in many, many years, it could at least be up, you know, Yeah, absolutely. All right, but this isn't the finance podcast. This is the torture cast podcast.
Well, it is a little bit of torture, but you know. Anyway,
yeah, that's true. On paper. Well, we'll talk about that on the Mad Money podcast. We'll see if we can raise the corpse of Jim Cramer. See if Jim Cramer can come back for some night.
Holy shit! All right, well, coming up, the Giants do have three in Denver starting tonight. They have won 10 in a row against the Rockies. Hopefully, they can continue that magic. And to be honest, hopefully some of their bats get healthy. I know that a lot of the batters love going to Coors. It's somewhere that they can get healthy over three or four games. So, but conversely, pitchers not so much. Not into that. So you know, we're going to see a lot of high-scoring games this week. Hopefully the Giants do come up victorious in at least two of them. And then they come back home after an off day Thursday to play three against the Padres. Back at Oracle, I might be going to Saturday's game, but it would only be as a fan with my son, so it'll be fun to go if we make that work. Hopefully I'll get to cover a game here sometime soon. But that's going to do it for
Rockies.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, La Stella should probably be coming back this series because he did play three games, and you'd like to think that they do it in Colorado because it's a good place to hit. So we might finally see the Giants' full offense this week on display.
Yeah, they said he was going to come back this week, and it would just be odd to have him activated like in game two or three in Colorado. You'd think that, right. Yeah. Like, what's one Today day difference going to make? Bad. Get him healthy with, you know, three full games in Colorado, you know, where you can. So Senzatella's going tonight. He's a righty. So, I mean, that would work for La Stella.
Right, absolutely.
Go so, yeah, it makes right sense to bring him up. So maybe
did not mean to cut off the rap.
No, but I think that's a good point. Maybe we'll see that transaction or that announcement come here in the next couple of hours, right after we get off the air, of course.
Junior Marte is going to get sent back down so that Tommy La Stella can get activated. That's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah, they'll trim it back down to 12 pitchers, and although for Colorado that may not be the best idea, so. But,
yeah, that's true. Or maybe they'll trade somebody to Seattle.
Yeah, that's what it is, Eric. It's another trade to Seattle.
We got right, 4 hours till game time. Let's see who we can get from Seattle in that time.
Yeah, you got any players stashed in your closet you could send down for tonight? That'd be great. All right. Well, good show. That was episode 252. We'll be back next Monday for episode 253 to review the week in Giants baseball like we always do. You can follow us collectively on Twitter at TortureCast. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TortureCast. You can find this podcast and all the stuff we do at TortureCast.com. We embed the audio link and the Facebook video as well. We try to stream live Facebook every Monday around 12:15 Pacific. If you're around, you can see our ugly mugs, although Eric's mustache is glorious right now, and we'll see if he has it next week. I have a feeling it could be gone. The caterpillar might have its days numbered. We'll see.
I am a married man. I joked when Mustache May started that none of these guys with mustaches are married men because their wives would never allow it. And
right.
Yeah, that's a pretty good bet, Chad. I'd take that bet.
All right. Well, tune in next Monday to see if he's going to have a naked phase or not. So until then, you could also follow Willie Dills, who couldn't make it today, at Willie Dills. That'll do it for episode 252. We'll see you next Monday for episode 253. Until then, be safe. Take care of yourself. Abu.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the Torture Cast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at TortureCast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.